This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, July 22nd. Well, wheat markets yesterday were mixed again, with Minneapolis finding more profit-taking, and it was down notably, but the winter wheats were up slightly. And in corn, a fairly quiet day, soybeans saw a little bit of pressure. We are starting to see some weather improvement in the European model, and that is showing some rain coming to the Northwest, Midwest, primarily Iowa, in the 11 to 15 day forecast. So that's taking some wind out of the sail of the row crops and actually adding to a fair amount of pressure in the row crops today. So far this morning on the night session. So we're looking at the grain markets continuing to be volatile, looking at the weather forecast right in front of us with all three major models agreeing that there's a massive heat dome over the Northern Plains and stretching south into all the way into Texas and then clipping the far western edge of the Midwest. Temperatures are going to get up to over 100 degrees in the Central Plains and stretching down just into Texas, and it's going to clip the far western edge of Iowa as well. So that's pretty intense heat for crops that are trying to pollinate. But the market isn't responding to that. We've got computerized weather trading systems that are looking at this longer range forecast for rain and assuming that that's going to save the day, but that is simply just not going to be the case. But the other issue is we don't see the crop conditions declining yet on the crop condition ratings in those Monday afternoon reports. I would expect that you would start to see that, especially in Iowa, but nationwide as well, with this huge heat system and dryness that's been prevalent for a couple weeks now in many of these regions. That should start to shave back these crop condition ratings. We're also seeing the heat and the dryness kind of extending through Europe and into the Black Sea region as well. That is primarily Eastern Europe and into Ukraine and into Central Russia. And of course, Western Europe is dealing with far too much rain, as is China. We see the flooding situation in China, and that's right at the northern edge of the North China Plain. So that's where a lot of corn and soybeans are grown, primarily corn, and also some winter wheat. But they were well into harvest of winter wheat, so we don't expect to see a lot of damage there. But certainly for the summer crops, it's a much different story. In Russia, harvest is progressing, and we're still continuing to find lower yields than expected. So now some of the private guys are even talking about wheat production there being below 80 million tons. So Sovcon had them at 83.5, USDA's got them at 84 to 85, but now we're talking sub 80. That's a pretty notable difference, especially when you were starting out looking for another record crop of at least 85 to 86. So we're seeing drops there, probably will continue that way. If this is what we're finding in winter wheat, we don't expect to find much better in spring wheat. In fact, most of the spring wheat country there, and there are three notable regions where it's grown, they've all had weather problems this year. So we're not going to see a bin buster in spring wheat coming out of Russia. We're certainly not seeing it in Kazakhstan, which have already moved to limit exports of spring wheat. And then the other major areas are the north is North America, and we all know what's going on there. So we're going to see a significant drop in high quality spring wheat, and that means a major drop in just high quality wheat in general. Here in the United States, harvest is wrapped up in the southern and central plains. We're moving into the northern plains. We're not going to see as much wheat there because of the heat. But even in the central and southern plains, we didn't see a lot of high protein coming out of that region. And so the world is not going to be awash in protein like it was a couple years ago. And this just completely changes the dynamics of the wheat market in two different ways, quality and quantity. And this, I think, you know, it might show up during harvest for what would have been harvest for spring wheat. But I think in the bigger picture, this just creates a very strong bull market in wheat. And regardless of what happens in corn and beans, if they fall apart today and take a major hit, wheat would get drug along initially like it is on the night session, but it's going to stand on its own two legs as we go forward. We're just looking at the Southern Hemisphere being able to shore up world production, it's, you know, it could stabilize it, but, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what Mother Nature dishes out there. But for the Northern Hemisphere, what started out looking like a pretty stellar opportunity has quickly faded. As we get into harvest for winter wheat, and as we've witnessed for spring wheat, it's just been an absolute disaster. It's at least as bad as 1988 and probably pushing worse than that. So there's going to be very little spring wheat harvested here in the U.S., and it's unlikely you'll get much better performance than that in the Canadian prairies. And this just changes the dynamics. From a production standpoint, just total world production of wheat takes a big hit because of the spring wheat problems. And then, of course, quality. The millers are looking around and think they don't have a lot to draw on from winter wheat either, as we get into a lot of small kernels and lightweight wheat up in the northern plains. It's a very difficult thing to watch. Your crops burn up, and you know you're suffering from the heat just from a human perspective. But you know the crops are just, you know, headed for they're in a train wreck, and you know, so that's, again, this just sets the tone for a bull market in wheat that I think will last at least into next year. There's just no way that Australia and Argentina, even with, you know, good crops there, are going to be able to shore up and really replace what's being lost as we speak in the Northern Hemisphere. So this sets the tone for winter wheat plantings. Number one, you've got this high heat moving into Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. That's all big winter wheat country. How much winter wheat are they going to plant if this heat and dryness sticks around? Northern Plains at least have some other options to go to spring wheat if they don't get the winter wheat planted this fall. And of course, the Central Plains, the further east you go, they've got the options for corn and soybeans, double crop soybeans. There's a lot of incentive to do that. And there was last year, we saw an increase in the double crop option. And I would guess that you're probably going to see more of that, especially if conditions are dry. They'll just wait it out and hope that we get some moisture over the winter and into the spring, and then go with the row crops. So high price row crops are certainly pulling at the attention of winter wheat farmers in the plains. And with dryness bearing down on that region, it might just stall them out, might just make the incentive just to go to the row crops. That's still a couple months away, but it's worth noting now that could be an incentive. I still think at some point Kansas City is going to regain its leadership over Chicago, and those discounts are still pretty hefty, so I think there's enormous opportunity there. But you got to be careful as we work through these next 5 or 6 weeks in the row crops. If that heat sticks around the Central Plains in the western Midwest, and if corn and beans take another leg up, Chicago will follow along closer than Kansas City and Minneapolis will. So those spreads will become skewed. That's where you get your opportunity, but you have to be very careful about getting into those kind of positions. So, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to call and we can talk about it. But the opportunities will be presenting themselves. You just have to exercise a great deal of care, as you always do when you're trading futures and options. And real quickly, export sales this morning, wheat 478,000 tons, pretty respectable number. That was right in the middle of the range of estimates from 300,000 to 600,000. China was the big buyer of 138,000 of soft red wheat. The Philippines came in second place with 122,000 total, with a mix of spring wheat, white wheat, and soft wheat. For corn, minus 40,000 net, and that was on China cancellations of 160,000. So it's not a particularly good number, and that's adding to some of the pressure in corn this morning. Soybean export sales, 238,000. That was within a pretty wide range from 50 to 700,000. So on the night session, we've got wheat, everything's lower. Wheat in Kansas City is down 15, Minneapolis down 23, Chicago's down 18. Soybeans are down 25, which is 6 off the low. We've been down about 30. And corn is down 14, and that's about 2 cents off its low. So quite a bit of pressure. And again, most of that's coming from the change in the forecast in the, you know, 11 to 15 day forecast, which is not a very reliable forecast. But nevertheless, the algo traders are certainly weighing in on their opinion of that change. If you have any Questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.